The serving of coffee and tiramisu provided the occasion to change places, mill around, or head down two floors to the entrance hall where a dance band had begun to make its presence felt. It occurred to me, as I looked at the crowd, that not a single mask remained in place. It was not just that the masks had been removed to facilitate eating. They had been pushed up on top of heads, stuffed into purses, or otherwise made to disappear well before dinner. I noticed also that, except for the odd decorative ribbon or wild tie, almost all the men were wearing traditional formal attire rather than costumes. The women, too, had ventured no further than their accessories in fashioning their costumes. Ostrich feathers, outlandish jewelry, a novel hairstyle, or some other cosmetic flourish. Anyone arriving at the ball at this hour would hardly have known it was a carnival ball, let alone a masked or a costume ball. "What's happened to the spirit of carnival?" I asked Peter Lauritsen as we made our way downstairs.
"Well, it will never be what it was at the height of decadence in the 18th century," he said. "Carnival was a powerful institution then. When Doge Paolo Regnier died during carnival in 1789, word of his death was suppressed until carnival was over, so as not to spoil the fun. As reinvented in the 20th century, it seemed, carnival was a tamer version of its former self. Lacking the context of pervasive decadence, even depravity, carnival was little more than a comparatively chaste celebration of a long-gone historic phenomenon."
"Not all carnival parties are as proper as this one," said Rose. "I mean, there is a more earthy side to carnival even now."
"And where would that be found?" I asked.
"The erotic poetry festival is one place. It's usually held in Campo San Maurizio, where the 18th century poet Giorgio Baffo lived. Baffo's poetry is usually described as licentious. In fact, it's downright pornographic."
The dance band on the ground floor was loud enough to drive all but the hardiest dancers from the palace, and we were soon standing on the landing platform waiting for our water taxi. While we waited, a gondola approached. It was moving slowly in the direction of St. Mark's and carried two passengers, both men. One was wearing a billowing, bushy black wig, a black fur jacket, black tights, and a bright red mask with a long nose. The other man had a far stranger costume. He wore a shiny red rubber wig or headdress that formed a smooth, rounded cone from the top of his head down to the full width of his shoulders. His arms and torso were wrapped in a sheath of loosely draped pink rubber, and each of his knees was encased in a melon-sized pink sphere. The meaning of his costume became abundantly clear as he slowly rose to a standing position. By the time he was fully erect, the pink rubber sheath had been stretched smooth. A white plastic drool hung from his mouth like an elongated pearl. A woman standing next to me gasped, then giggled. A man behind me murmured, "Fantastico." Then, as the gondola glided by, the other man stood up, the man in the black fur jacket and the bushy black wig. His gaze swept the landing platform as he stared at each of us through his bright red mask, past his long red nose. Then he flung open his jacket, much in the manner of a flasher, and revealed a brilliant expanse of surprisingly lifelike pink satin labial folds. "Now that's what I call carnival," said Rose.